Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for our national anthem. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. The national anthem will be sung by the Pioneer Peak Elementary Honor Guard. Please be seated. The invocation will now be delivered by MEA Board Member Larry DeVilbiss. Mr. DeVilbiss.
Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this evening with thanks for another year, for accomplishments, for hopes, for new horizons. And we do pray that as we meet together this evening, that you would make this meeting something that would glorify you. And we do ask, God, that you would bless this organization. We confess our need, and we depend on you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming to MEA's 71st annual meeting. My name is Joe Griffith. I'm general manager. I work for these people up here. Few announcements here to get the meeting started off. First, please turn off your cell phones, iPads, iPods, and all of those kind of things, because they do cause a ruckus if they go off. The food is in the back corner. Probably most of you have found it already. Becky's original kettle corn is back there, as is Matanuska Creamery ice cream. There's coffee and water available. Water, by the way, is bottled by Alaska Glacier water at the Eglutna turnoff of the Glen Highway. Very good water. This is a no smoking facility. If there is anybody that needs a smoke, please do it so outside. Medical assistance is available. Please ask any MEA employee, and that's the folks with the blue vests on, and they can help you get medical attention if necessary. There are two EMTs on site, and in case first aid is needed for anybody or anything, and they've got yellow flagger vests on. I guess I see one back here, and there must be another one somewhere. Serving as Sergeant at Arms tonight is Dino Sutherland. That's this gentleman over here. And if you need any help, he will be happy to assist you. For member comments at the end of our meeting, any member who speaks will be allocated 3 minutes. So we'll try to keep you timed on that, and there will be timing cues so you can determine when your 3 minutes are up. That doesn't mean you have to talk for 3 minutes, but you may if you want to. If you have questions or need any directions, we've got an information booth over here that will be happy to help you out as well. The draft minutes of the 2011 annual membership meeting are available also at the information table for those of you that would like to go through that. Now I would like to ask the chairperson, Lois Lester, to do introductions, please.
Thank you, Joe. Seated at the head table this evening are board directors, David Glines, vice president. Okay. Peter Burchell, secretary treasurer. Jenna Kincaid, director. Kit Jones, director. And Bob Doyle, director. And Larry DeVilbus. Where did he go? All right. Joe Griffith is our general manager, and I am Lois Lester, president. Seated below at that table, we have Tony Guerrero, board counsel, and Robin Brenner, board counsel. And Tony is serving as the parliamentarian. And we have Pat Worrell serving as recording secretary. Others, we have many members of the bylaw committee, nominating committee, scholarship committee, the charitable foundation board are here tonight. Their names are listed on the back of your agenda. And we thank them for volunteering their time to serve their cooperative.
Madam President.
Over at the table as well, we have candidates Marvin Yoder and Mr. Scoresby. Okay? Okay. The next item of business on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. May I have a motion to approve the agenda? And please make the motion and repeat your name. And also, for the person that seconds, we need your name. I need a motion to approve the agenda. Karen?
Tucker.
Move to accept the agenda. Okay. The second is? Okay.
I didn't catch the name. Okay.
Okay. The motion is to approve the agenda. Those in favor, raise your voting cards. Okay. Those opposed, raise your voting cards. Okay. The motion is carried. A quorum is present. Patrick Worrell, we'll let you know the numbers. No, you want me to do it. All right. A quorum was established at 5:10 p.m. Registered at this meeting is 52 people. We need 54 quorum. Okay. Secretary Treasurer Peter Burchell will now read the certification that notice of MEA's annual meeting was mailed to each member.
I, Peter Burchell, Secretary Treasurer of the Matanuska Electric Association, certified on the 30th day of March 2012 a notice of the annual meeting of the members of the cooperative to be held on the 24th day of April 2012 at 6 o'clock p.m. at Raven Hall was mailed to each and every member of the association by depositing such notice with postage prepaid addressed as aforesaid in the United States Mail at Anchorage, Alaska, and that the copy attached is a true and correct copy of said notice. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. MEA's bylaws require reading of draft minutes of the previous meeting of the members and the taking of necessary action thereon, unless the members vote to dispense with such reading. Do I hear a motion to dispense with the reading and to approve the minutes as drafted?
Could we have your name, please?
There's a motion to suspend, and he said his name. Is there a second? Okay. Thank you. That was Stan Heinz. Heinzmann. Okay. And the motion has been moved and seconded to suspend. Is there discussion? Is there objections? Hearing none, the motion passes. Election Overseer Catherine Fosselman, CPA, will now report on election procedures and voting for directors.
Fosselman and Associates CPAs was hired to oversee the MEA election from the printing of the ballots all the way through to the announcement of the results. In 2012, we verified that 46,750 ballots were printed and delivered to the mailing house. On March 30th, we tested and confirmed that 46,107 were mailed from the Anchorage Airport Post Office. From that day until yesterday, we picked up the ballots on a daily basis from the Palmer Post Office, transported the ballots to MEA, where we oversaw the signature verification of 100% of the received ballots. Earlier today, we opened all the mail ballots and tabulated them in preparation for tonight's meeting. We received 8,264 ballots. 246 of those were returned as undeliverable. 66 ballots were returned without a signature. 50 ballot envelopes had invalid signatures. 43 ballot envelopes were signed by unauthorized people. And that left us with 8,060 valid ballot envelopes. And out of those, when we opened them, one contained no ballot. So we have a total of 8,059 valid votes cast in the mail-in portion of the election. At this time, the ballot boxes are open for anyone who has not previously voted and has registered and received a meeting day ballot.
Thank you. An election overseer designee will call for casting of ballots. Ballot boxes are located, as was stated, throughout the meeting room. The electioneer or designee is in charge of ballot boxes. He will pick up the ballots and release of results to MEA staff and members. Nominating committee member Lori Gorsch will now read the nominating committee report.
I'd like to take a minute and thank all the members of the nominating committee who take their time to interview the very cool people who applied this year. Tamara Bauman, Henry Gannat, Katie Hurley, Debbie Lightheart, and Rose Jenny. The nominating committee, as in accordance with MEA bylaws, the nominating committee met and interviewed four candidates: Catherine or Kit Jones, Lois Lester, Brian Scoresby, and Marvin Yoder. All were found to be qualified and able to be considered as nominees. Thank you.
Thank you. Article 4, Section 4's last two sentences read, "The chairman shall call for additional nominations from the floor. No member may nominate more than one candidate. Are there any nominations from the floor? Hearing none, nominations are closed. The next item of business is the introduction of candidates and candidates' speeches. As I myself am a candidate, I would like to pass the gavel to Board Vice President David Glines.
Your 2012 candidates for the Board of Directors are in alphabetical order: Kit Jones, Lois Lester, Brian Scoresby, Marvin Yoder. Candidates will address the membership and are allotted 3 minutes each. I believe, if I'm correct, Patty Worrell will give us a card or flip card or something and remind me, is that correct? Oh, Tony will, okay. Okay. And you'll be the Vanna White then, okay. So if any of the candidates need to know, I will give them, if you'll give me a 30-second hand wave or something, I'll relay that. All right. So in that order, our first candidate speaker will be Kit Jones.
Well, hello. And yes, I am Kit Jones, and I am running for re-election for the MEA board. You know, I have to tell you that to me, the election process is probably just more interesting than fun. But this election has been very gratifying to me because of the number of wonderful supporters I've had helping me with this campaign and in many, many different ways. When we first started out with the campaign, we decided and we were going to use the signs left over from 3 years ago. So the signs had been stored in a friend's yard, and as you all know, we had record snow this year. So we had to find some volunteers willing to start digging those signs out, which took a long one afternoon. And then when they got down to the signs, they were covered with a tarp, and the tarp was frozen solid into the ground. So we had to delay just a little bit. They had to work with picks and get those signs out, so I appreciate what those folks did. And then there were people that put the signs up around town for us and throughout the service area. You might have seen people standing on the corners waving some of those signs for us. And even if you were one of those people that worked in Anchorage coming home in the afternoon, there probably was a man sitting on the side of the highway with a little white dog with a big Vote for Kit Jones and Lois Lester sign. And I think he's quite well known for sitting there. There were the people that spent hours making phone calls for us. There were folks that sent out emails in our support. And of course, there were the people that were very, very generous with their donations to the campaign, which we could not have run the campaign without those donations. And then, you know, there were just the people that would greet you and give you their support and their encouragement. And I really want to say a very heartfelt thanks to each one of you that helped us. But you know, that support was a confirmation to me that what we've done in the last 3 years since I've been on the board has been moving MEA in the right direction. You know, it's really exciting at MEA right now because you've probably heard me say this line before, but we are 30 seconds to go. Oh my goodness. Anyway, we are moving MEA in the right direction. We are going to be generating our own electricity. And before this 30 seconds is up, I just want to thank the MEA staff and the employees for the great job they do. I want to thank the members of the Charitable Foundation. They have worked hard. They're all volunteers. I want to thank you out there that didn't even vote for me, but that are here participating in the process, and thank you for my supporters.
Next candidate will be Lois Lester.
Good afternoon again, and you've seen the signs that says vote for Kit Jones and Lois Lester. And I can say that she's the talker. And I say what I have to say in a few words. And the few words begin like this. Thanks for you who have voted for both of us. And it shows that you still have confidence in us. And for those of you who have not yet voted, please follow their lead. Because those people that have already voted for us have said it's okay to vote for two ladies that have been in the trenches fighting for this co-op, yours and my co-op. It is okay to vote for two ladies who know how to pass and assist with budgets that will allow our co-op to be financially stable. It's okay to vote for these ladies. And finally, if you follow their lead, the ones that sent the ballots in and voted for us, it's okay to say, like they said, that you don't change horses in the middle of a stream. It ain't broke, don't fix it. Thanks.
The next candidate will be Brian Scoresby.
While he's coming up, registration is now closed.
Thank you.
Last time I came to one of these meetings, there was about 75 people here, and it's great to see so many people come here tonight in support of the co-op as a whole. I decided to run for a seat on the board so that I can participate in my community a little more than I have. One of the things that I think all of us should do is participate somehow, some way in our community, in the way of community service, volunteering for something. Whether it be sitting on the board, whether it be running for president, or whether it be picking up garbage on the highway, or you know, something somewhere, everybody should be a volunteer for. Marvin asked me to run this for this campaign with him. We learned a couple of things. One is that two people can run a campaign more effectively and cheaper than one person can on their own, and we've seen that to be true. I want to thank those who have voted already for Marvin and I. Thank those who have supported us, who have given donations to our campaign. And for Lois, I can tell you that I met a lady who, when the ballots first came out, She was an older woman, and she had voted for Lois and for myself because we were the longest members of the co-op. We'd lived here longer than anybody else. And so that's why she voted for us. And you never know why someone's going to vote, but that was her reason. I look forward to seeing MEA progress and go forward in the future to see this Clutna power plant completed, hopefully in budget, and producing power for all of us. Look forward to having lower cost power. And those are things that I would work towards if elected to the board. Thank you again for all your support.
And the next candidate is Marvin Yoder.
Good evening and welcome. I had four things in mind when I decided to run for the board. First one is that I'm retired and I figured I had a little more time to spare and I wanted to put it back into the community. The second reason was is because MEA is making a big change going from strictly a co-op that distributes power to one that produces power. I've had experience in that field running the power plants and the electrical generation systems, and so I felt like my experience would be very helpful. Third, because I think there's big things coming up that need to have us really look hard at and try to decide what it is, how the co-op wants to go. I am concerned that the board mission statement says that we're going to diversify power, and yet right now we're looking at a single source of power until the hydro comes on. And so I think we really need to be looking at diversification in the power supply. And the fourth reason is that as I watched MEA over the years, I have been a little concerned about some of what I considered special interest influence. And so those are the four reasons I decided to run. I have experience. I've been around the electrical generation for a long time. And I felt like I could be a part of this and help move it forward, keep the rates low, and bring good business practices to the co-op. Thank you.
All right, with that duty done, I will pass the gavel back to the president.
One of the introductions we forgot to do, or I forgot to do, was to recognize Marilyn Leland, the Executive Director of Alaska Power Authority. Will you, Marilyn? Okay, welcome. Peter says you must stand up. Ladies and gentlemen, this year's scholarship awards will be presented by members of the 2012 Scholarship Committee and Patty Worrell. The scholarship finalists are listed on the back of your program. With those finalists who are present, please come forward.
Six remarkable women have dedicated varying numbers of years to MEA's Scholarship Committee. Their names are listed on the back of your program as the Scholarship Committee volunteers. A few of them are here tonight, but many are community volunteers and have conflicts already. The same holds true with our students. With me from the committee are the committee chair, Marianne Lisenby, and a longtime volunteer, Mary Sears. On the other side of the stairway are the students who were available for this meeting. I told you last year that some people say, well, why aren't those kids all here? They're not here because they are involved in things like science Olympiad competition, soccer, cheerleading, and other sporting events. They're involved in their communities and in their churches, and they're mentoring their peers and other students. In other words, these finalists are tomorrow's leaders. It was our pleasure to interview 24 finalists. We promised each of those that they won at least $100 by going through the process and being interviewed by the committee. The committee decided that none of them deserved $100, but they deserved more. So, in the honorable mention category, we have seven young men and women whose names are Michelle Wetherill, Crystal Lonkel, Ben Russell, Krista Gilson, Eva Kohlberg, Lacey Player, and Benjamin Gerwig. Now, if any of those students are here, we'd like you to come this way and come across the podium. Hold your horses. And I think there was a photographer that was going to get these individually as you came up. So Crystal, choreographed were not, but these students are really tomorrow's leaders. That's Eva Kohlberg. This is Crystal Lonkel. In the honorable mention category. Crystal is the mom of a daughter who was also in this competition, and it was the first ever, since I've been doing this for about 16 years, that we had a parent and a child in the competition and landing in the finals. Next are the $500 winners, and those people are Rachel Shercliffe, Morgan Morphy. Morgan called today and said she had soccer playoffs and wondered if not being here would affect her chances of winning. Connor Mattson and Jesse Doms. Are any of those people here? Oh, we have Connor. All of our finalists' names and the schools they attend are on the back of your program. Moving on up, we have the $750 category, and those winners are Carly Culligan, Sheva Lonkel, Jonna Rush, and Lauren Chun. Are any of those people here? Oh, there she is, Sheva. And there's the photographers over there. I feel as if I should be singing something like the Jeffersons from the 70s, and moving on up. We are now at $1,000 awards, and those students are Morgan Dampier. She says almost everybody calls her Dampier, and she says it's French, it's Dampier. Ben King, I see he's here. Krista Lundberg, and Kevin Williams. $1,000 winners. Here's Kevin Williams. Here's Ben King. Pictures, pictures. So, are you nervous? We have a $1,250 winner, and I know he's not here. He's in college, out of state. His name is Brian Doms. So let's hear it for Brian. And finally, we have our $2,000 winners. All four remaining candidates, the three you see there and one more, won the $2,000 awards. For your information, this does not come out of your rates. This scholarship foundation was established in the 80s and has been funded ever since then with the money that the endowment created. Christian Winter is our first $2,000 winner, and he's designated as a non-traditional winner, which means that he was out of school for at least 1 year. Christian? We have an award that's called the Dusty Bonin $2,000 award. That recipient has shown an extraordinary a gift of being involved in the community, and that winner is Jesse Marmon. All right, Jesse. Our vocational designation is for a young woman who couldn't be here tonight, and her name is Autumn George. And finally, we have our academic winner. A $2,000 award goes to Forrest Campnell. You have fans. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging these great leaders of tomorrow, and would you please give them one more round of applause?
The next item of business on the agenda is a presentation from MEA's Charitable Foundation Board of Directors. David Doms and Cheryl Hines of the Charitable Foundation, will you please come up?
Good evening, and thank you so much. It's wonderful to look out and see this many members interested in our wonderful co-op. Since July 2011, over $80,000 has been funneled back into the economic recipe of our community. Your MEA Charitable Foundation has been diligent in their effort to identify and vet grant recipients. The grants that will be awarded tonight will touch all of our lives. Because of Roundup, food for a community in need will be provided. Kids otherwise left alone after school will be playing sports again. Young musicians and artists will be mentored rather than dismissed. Real airplanes will be built by real kids. From seniors to toddlers, dreams have and will transform to reality.
Great. Hi, my name is David Doms, and I have the privilege of serving as chair of the MEA Charitable Foundation, and I'd like to introduce your board members of the Charitable Foundation to you. First is Tom McGregor. Second is Karen Tucker. She is our secretary. Third is Barbara Gerard, board member. Sue Smith, she is our treasurer. And Kelly Sidebottom. Kelly Sidebottom has a special designation in our board. She is called our boots on the ground person because our board gives both to charitable organizations, but also to individuals in need. And Kelly is our boots on the ground person. She goes and checks with people and checks out the need and helps us give in the most effective ways. Thanks very much. Well, it's my privilege now to...
David. Time up. I have to announce that the polls are now closed.
No, he doesn't. I'm one of the board members, guys.
And our vice chair, Cheryl Hines. Sorry about that. Okay. You weren't right here in my field of view.
That's all right.
Great. All right. We're going to have the grantees come forward at this time. Our Pillows for Kids Foundation, a grant of $2,500.
Pillows for Kids. If you will, please just hold your applause till the end. Pillows for Kids is a program that provides 12 economically disadvantaged youth the ability to participate in training.
Our next grant is for Alaska Live Steamers, $7,000 for a protective fence.
These rideable 1/8 scale operating trains are moving to their new 20-acre location. This grant will help them fence that area for the tourists that we expect to double this season.
I am Steve Katkus, the president of the Alaska Live Steamers. I want to present a plaque to the Charitable Foundation. We made it specifically for them in regards to helping us build our railroad that we're relocating in the city of Wasilla. And on the plate, it is inscribed, "Thanks to the MEA Roundup from the Alaska Live Steamers for helping us stay on track. Roundup Program 2011. Sir, I'd like you to accept that.
Thanks. Thank you. Our next grant is to the Outdoor Heritage Foundation, $10,000.
The Outdoor Heritage Foundation promotes the conservation and wise use of Alaska's natural resources through education to enjoy the outdoors in a safe, responsible manner.
Our next charitable grant is to Community Sports in Palmer, Alaska, $1,500.
This organization provides a free, safe, and healthy way to get Valley youth off the streets.
Our next grant is to Chugiak Youth Sports, $3,143.
This grant allows the purchase of different sports equipment for an after-school program for kids.
Our next grant is to Talkeetna Build-A-Plane, $10,000. Here come our builders.
This is a grant to purchase needed aircraft equipment to complete the building of their Cherokee PA-32. Completion is scheduled for this fall. Our general manager, Joe Griffith, will be the test pilot of the new FAA-certified plane before it is sold to fund the next project. And I would like to add that we have Fern with us, and Fern received her pilot's license. Is Fern, would, no. She passed her written, sorry. Thanks, Dick.
Our next grant is Four Paws for Ability, $10,000.
Four Paws for Ability provides hearing, seeing, and autistic canine assistance for children. This dog, a Papillon, will be trained for over 8 months to a year before he or she is given to a recipient. This will be the very first Alaska dog given, and I am so proud to say that Four Paws is moving one of their headquarters from the Midwest to Alaska.
Our next grant is Tamatsu Youth Court, $2,500.
Oh, here she comes. The Youth Court is an organized and effective juvenile justice system. It gives youth offenders personal accountability, youth attorneys good training. Very good program for our kids.
And our last grant of this first quarter, 2012, is to Children's Lunchbox, $5,000.
We're very proud of this program. It's a grant given to the Boys and Girls Club. It's brand new, to provide lunches for children in the Matsu Valley whom otherwise may have not had school lunches. And for this, we thank you all so much, and God bless America, and God bless the Charitable Foundation.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
At this time, we have a special presentation. Joe, would you like to introduce your special guest?
Madam President, I would like to introduce Charisse Millett, legislator in the House of Representatives. Charisse, would you come up? She has a special presentation for one of our most notable consultants, and she will read that to you as we speak.
Thank you so much for allowing me to crash your meeting today. One of the things that we get to do in the legislature is do citations, honoring special individuals from Alaska that have really moved the state forward. This year it was my honor, along with Senator Liesl McGuire, to honor one person in particular. And I really appreciate this gentleman. When I first got elected to the legislature, I really didn't know anything about energy, nothing. And he was not only a mentor, but he became a friend. I'm talking about the one and only Harold Hines. Harold, if you'd like to come up. Harold was a breath of fresh air when I got down the legislature. I didn't really know where I'd end up. I ended up as a co-chair of energy in a time when we needed to have some issues solved in our state. And with his tutelage and his time, and generous with his time, he really helped me understand my role in the legislature as not as doing something, more as just helping the process along. So Harold, I'm so grateful to you, and the state of Alaska is so grateful to you. I'd like to read your citation to you, if you don't mind.
Am I allowed to blush?
You can blush, and it might be longer than 3 minutes, so. The members of the 27th Alaska Legislature are proud to recognize and honor Harold Hines, an Alaskan who has made delivering Alaska's abundant energy resources to the rest of America the mission of his entire professional career. Mr. Hines has for over four decades of technical, managerial, and executive experience in Alaska oil and gas production, pipelines, and major projects for ARCO, the state of Alaska, and now for MEA. During this time, Harold has examined every proposal made to bring North Slope gas to the Alaska market and beyond. Mr. Hines' early technical credentials include graduating from Colorado School of Mines with a high honors degree in petroleum engineering and serving as a U.S. Army's principal instructor in the military pipeline design and construction at the Corps of Engineers School at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. His technical work for ARCO in Alaska included simulation of the Prudhoe Bay Reservoir and design basis for the multi-billion dollar well and production facility installation. The work included the first detailed evaluation of gas sales timing. As ARCO's engineering manager in Alaska, he played a major role in the development of Prudhoe Bay unit agreements, and he personally recruited his staff of over 200 engineers that accomplished this historic startup in the initial operation of North America's largest field. Before moving to corporate staff and executive positions within ARCO, Mr. Hines obtained the multi-billion dollar commitment for the development of the Kuparuk oil field. It's a pretty amazing feat, going off script, but. During his 10 years as a corporate vice president, he managed a large oil and gas producing operation in the mid-continent area, as well as serving as the president of ARCO Alaska and ARCO Transportation. In both those positions, he provided organizational leadership, representation to the state and local governments, as well as to the communities themselves. Alaska Governor Walter J. Hickel selected Mr. Hines to be his commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. He was responsible for the management of all the development on Alaska's 100 million acres. During the last year of the Hickel administration, Mr. Hines worked directly for the Governor Hickel and focused on marketing Alaska's royalty gas. In 2003, Mr. Hines became the chief executive officer of the voter-approved initiative, Alaska Natural Gas Development Authority, and worked with the Alaska Electrical Utilities to develop both short-term sources of cooking inlet gas and longer-term focus on the development of highly efficient in-state gas pipeline system attached to a large diameter pipeline from the North Slope, which I hope we get to see soon. Today, he devotes his professional time to building Matanuska Electric Association new gas-fired plant and renowned throughout Alaska's private and public sector for his insight, solid analysis, and clear presentations. For his lifelong commitment to Alaska's energy industry, the 27th Alaska Legislature honors and recognizes Harold Hines with this citation. I'm really honored to present this. He has really been a mentor, and not just to me, but I can tell you that in the last probably 20 years, there isn't a legislator that Harold hasn't sat down, had a very frank conversation with, and pointed out some of the obvious, sometimes brutal flaws that the legislature takes in its attempt to get gas to market. So Harold, I really appreciate all you've done for Alaska, and I'm so honored to be a friend of both you and your wife, Cheryl. So thank you so much. Oh, I'm gonna take it out.
Thank you so much. This is one of the nicest honors I've ever had in my life, I appreciate very much receiving it tonight at this event and in this setting, and my thanks to you, Charisse, and to Liesl for being the sponsors. I know it took some convincing with 60 legislators to give me anything at this point. But frankly, after decades here in Alaska, I'm very proud to be part of what's developed in terms of energy. I'm very proud to be part of what I'm working on now with the Eklutna Generation Station. And frankly, I'm looking forward to getting to build something rather than studying what needs to be done. So thank you very much.
The next item of business on the agenda is the President and General Manager's report. Mr. Griffith, will you join me?
I'm ready to do it, Madam President. And I guess we might add that you heard Harold say this, he's working on this project. His role is quality control, quality assurance, as well as my personal representative to the project team that we've put together. And I might add, he's doing a yeoman's effort, and I'm really pleased he's there. This past year has been a very exciting year in the co-op's history. 2012 is a leap year, you probably knew that, and in line with that occasion, MEA has made a giant leap forward into the future. We're building our own power generation station. It's the first one we've had now in about 65 years. So it's a little bit of a challenge to change from a distribution co-op that we have been for the past 71 years and becoming a major generation and transmission facility, a co-op that will contribute about 170 megawatts of locally produced power for our members and the whole rail belt. The ongoing dialogue with our sister utilities has been good and is going well. We created ArcTech in 2011, and we ended up with $56 million contribution from the state to move forward with the transmission projects that were needed. President Lester will expand on that in a few moments. After a period of rather flat growth, we're seeing an upswing in our economic confidence. We had 1,104 new meters this last year and 617 new members signed up. A long-term fuel contract is closer to fruition than any time in the past 2 years. We have encouraging news of multiple new discoveries in Cook Inlet, and we are in serious negotiations with several gas suppliers. Even as we are all working harder and longer hours to plan and build our future power plant, while continuing to provide you with the quality of service you deserve and demand, I believe company morale is at an all-time high. We are becoming the masters of our own destiny. We no longer simply have to bear the costs handed to us. We know what we need to do, and our future generation and transmission is soon to be in our own hands.
In fiscal year 2011, we had revenues of $105 million with total expenses of $100 million. That leaves us with a net margin of $5 million. The annual capital program was $21 million. Long-term debt increased by $11 million to help pay for those capital projects. We returned capital credits of almost $1 million, leaving us with a patronage capital total of $97 million.
Margins are the revenues left over after expenses are accounted for. If you were a for-profit, you would call that net profit. Properly managed, your co-op should achieve positive margins every year. These margins are placed into a patronage capital account, and you just heard the president give you that total number, over $90 million. And that represents the membership's equity, your equity, in the co-op. Each year, the board retires a portion of that account in the form of capital credit payouts. In 2011, we retired $929,000. That's money given directly back to you and now at work in the local economies. Since your co-op started retiring capital credits, the cumulative total return to the membership is over $39 million.
Our budget for 2012 reflects the board's solid commitment to providing for MEA's future power supply. We plan to invest $26.8 million in our electrical system and another $57 million in the new generation plant, for a total capital investment program of $83.8 million. Let me say that again, $83.8 million. On the operating side, we expect to see a healthy 1.5% growth rate in energy sales, with another 900 new meters installed. As you might imagine, we are also in the process of staffing up for our new generation project. Our peak full-time staffing in 2012 should be 152 employees, up 5 from last year's budget. We also hired temporary employees as needed. We are projecting total revenues in 2012 of almost $109 million and a net margin of approximately $4.3 million. And you guys are looking at the slides, right? All right. But of course, the real question is, what will happen to electric rates? Since our last annual meeting, we've had more rate reductions than increases. We reduced base rates 1.33% last July. We reduced them another 0.44% in October and another 1% in January. But we couldn't keep it up indefinitely. And earlier this month, it was necessary to increase base rates by 2.55% in order to meet our financial objectives. It is always hard to predict future rate changes because of all the variables. But right now, we are hoping to hold the line in the third quarter with about a 2.4% increase in October. None of these rate changes have anything to do with the new power plant, which won't come online until the end of 2014. They are strictly a function of the cost of running MEA's electrical distribution system and maintaining the high levels of reliability we have all come to expect. Currently, approximately 65% of your bill is the cost of purchase power from Chugach.
MEA has historically been a distributor of electric power produced by others. We call that in the parlance, a distribution co-op. Our power has been purchased from Chugach for over 30 years now, and that will continue until December 31st, 2014, at which time our own power plant should pick up the load. With the construction of the Eklutna Generation Station, MEA is transforming itself from a simple distribution co-op to a generation, transmission, and distribution utility, commonly referred to as a vertically integrated utility. For the first time, control of all phases of power production, transmission, and distribution for our members will rest with us. In short, we will become the master of our own destiny.
After the membership voted overwhelmingly to build our own power plant, the board of directors spent 5 years intensely studying and attending work sessions to move forward on that decision. There are those out there who are skeptical of our project, our team, and our decision. Well, I'm here to tell you that our decision is based on sound economics and will provide long-term stability to our rates. Our project team has a cumulative total of over 200 years of experience in projects like this. We are proud of our Alaska team and are enriching it with top firms in our field. Wärtsilä, a leading global supplier of flexible and efficient power plants, has been awarded the contract to produce the engines and provide the generators, which will be the heart of our new plant. We have hired Stanley Consultants, a world-renowned leader in electrical systems design and construction, to serve our owner's engineer. First Southwest Company is our financial advisor. Harold Hines, past president of ARCO Alaska and ARCO Transportation, is the project's executive advisor. Bob Dryden, founder of Dryden and LaRue, one of the foremost engineering firms in the state. And Tony Izzo, past president of NSTAR, is our fuel supply manager. The RFPs for detailed design of our plant were released last week. Interest is high, with the potential to provide many local jobs.
On March 12, 2012, the MEA Board of Directors voted unanimously to purchase 10 dual-fuel natural gas reciprocating engines that will power the Eklutna Generation Station. Back in the left-hand side of the room, my left-hand side, you will see pictures of those engines. They're manufactured by Wärtsilä in Finland. These 10 engines at full throttle will produce the 170 megawatts that I mentioned earlier. These are not small units. Each engine weighs 355 tons. They're 19 feet tall, 15 feet wide, and 62 feet long. In fact, they will be roughly 20 to 30% more fuel efficient than the units that currently produce the power that we use. Each dual fuel engine will operate primarily on natural gas, but in the event of a problem, interruption of the gas, a natural disaster, or other interruption, the engines seamlessly transition to burning heating oil. And you have a picture of the unit right there.
We passed a major milestone in protecting our environment last July. We were notified that we received the green light on our air permit. The Eklutna Generation Station will indeed be a clean burning facility. Most of you may not realize this, but when we were given the permit, MEA saved a year's worth of time and roughly $1 million of additional work.
And that isn't the only thing we have been doing over the last year. We rebuilt 10.4 miles of transmission line from Thielen Substation out about mile 7 or 8 on KGB Road to the Reddington Substation where the Point McKenzie Road intersects it. We increased the voltage of that line from 34,500 volts to 115,000. And as a result, the line capacity was increased by about 350%, and that is there to support the increased load in the West KGB area, Burma Road, Point McKenzie, and any points to the east and, or west and north of there. We also upgraded the underlying distribution system on that line with the new poles.
We completely rebuilt the Reddington substation, one of the crucial substations that feeds the western section of our service area. We built the substation to provide a higher level of continued service while making provisions for future installation of an additional transmission line.
Back in the back of the room is a Chevrolet Volt electric car. We purchased this car in March at a local Chevrolet dealer for the purpose of seeing the implications of bringing these kind of units on board our system. There's a lot of forecast and ideas that people have about the kind of load that these will add to the system. We're interested in finding out for ourselves, first, how the vehicles work, how they work on our system, and will they work in our weather. In addition to being able to forecast what kind of a load growth we're going to see from these things. That car is fueled by both electricity and gasoline. It is really powered by a lithium-ion rechargeable energy storage system. In short, that's the same kind of a battery you have in your cell phone. It's unique among the electric vehicles because you have two sources of energy, an electric source, a battery, and a generator that charges that battery.
It allows you to drive with the gasoline engine running. It generates electricity that runs the motors that turn the wheels. On electricity only, you can get about 35 miles on it. It's eerie to drive. It's totally silent except for road noise. There's the onboard gas generator, a little four-cylinder engine that produces the electricity once you have brought the battery down. And it can go on 9 gallons of gas upwards almost 400 miles. They say 375. And it's our intent to drive, assess, chart, and report our membership. And we're going to put it on the website so you can read about it and put this car through its paces so we know what electric vehicles will do to us.
Another great example of what can happen when we work together is the MEA Charitable Foundation, who administers Operation Roundup. Operation Roundup is a voluntary program under which participating members can choose to have their monthly electrical bills rounded up to the next whole dollar in value. This money is then put into an account for grants to successful applicants, and you just saw that presentation. The MEA Charitable Foundation is proud to support service area individuals and organizations to provide food, shelter, clothing, health needs, art and educational opportunities, and kids and senior programs in our communities. Currently, Operation Roundup has fed more than $88,000 back into our communities through small grants. Operation Roundup truly is small change that can change lives.
Thank you, Lois, and if you would do clearing, I would be appreciative.
Okay. MEA is dedicated to providing safe and reliable service to all our members. A well-cleared right-of-way ensures fewer interruptions and outages and enables MEA linemen to easily access poles, wires, underground cabinets to more efficiently deal with outages. We maintain 2,200 miles of overhead lines and 1,900 miles of underground lines. We cleared 235 miles last year. Our right-of-ways are on a 7 to 10 year clearing cycle. Trees and other vegetation can grow a lot in that period, and we put in a lot of effort keeping those rights-of-way clear.
It is our intent to do another 200 plus miles this year, so some of you may see our clearing crews out there working in your areas. And it has measurably raised the reliability of our system to get the trees out of the lines. We are also proud to have been Alaska's first tree-lined USA utility in recognition of our efforts in quality tree care, worker training, tree planting, and public education. I just received a letter last week that gives us another year as a tree-lined utility. MEA's clearing crews use special pruning and clearing techniques that lessen the impact on a tree's health, structure, and appearance, while quickening tree wound closure and helping direct future growth away from our power lines. Our outstanding clearing crews are led by Joel Stefanski, who continues to do a top-notch job. We are very proud of his crews and his efforts. We also offer special thanks to Bill Jardell, our own arborist. Bill was the first certified arborist in the state and has since worked to certify dozens of Alaskans through the tree care industry. He selflessly gives of his time and talents to educate members in our service area about proper tree selection and care. Thank you, Bill, for your effort.
The Alaska Railroad Cooperative Transmission and Electric Company was created January 2011 and is known as ARCTEC. Membership is made up of 5 electric utilities. ARCTEC is designed to serve as a vehicle for all of the Rail Belt electric utilities to work together on projects too big for any one utility to take on alone. Its primary purpose is to address the generation and transmission needs of the Rail Belt, aid in procuring fuel, and establishing alternative energy generation facilities, and serve as a single voice for its members. Since its formation last year, ARCTEC has secured $56 million for energy projects along the rail belt, providing again the value of working together to build a better future for us all. I would like to say a special congratulations to our general manager, Joe Griffith, on being appointed to his second term as CEO of ARCTEC.
And if that doesn't, it's not so much that I was appointed the CEO, but the fact that the six utilities in the rail belt, the electric utilities, are really working together for a common end. And a big piece of that is the Wautana project up 125 miles north of Talkeetna that will essentially be in our service territory. And that has huge implications from the standpoint of planning, public relations, transmission requirements, as well as the construction. At any given time over a 4 to 5 year period, there will be 1,000 people working up there. So it's certainly going to be a big effort. Supported in the governor's budget, and we in ARCTEC, as the membership, are supporting that. Lois, thank you for your words, and thank you for leading us to this point at MEA. And I thank all of you for coming. As we get into the latter phases of the meeting here tonight, if you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer them for you. Thank you.
Joe, as CEO of ARCTEC, does not get paid. He has a lot of work to do with no money. The next item of business on the agenda is unfinished business, and there is none. There is no new business to be brought before the body at this time.
Okay. As all of you know that cast a ballot, there was a bit of a little benefit for doing that. You were dropped into the hat for a drawing for several prizes, if you will. The first prize was a 10,000 kilowatt hour prize, or 1 year of electricity, whichever comes first. That went to Patrick and Kathy Tyson. If they're here, I would love to shake your hands. I called them this morning, but wasn't able to connect with them. The most, I think, exciting contribution that we had out there for these benefits is a beater vehicle. I personally went out and took a look at it, and it's truly a beater, but the engine does run, and we guarantee it will start, and you can get it off of our lot. And that went to Daniel and Jane Johnston, and we had $3,000 travel vouchers that we gave out also, and the names we drew for that were Richard and Sharon Prian, Clarence and Valerie Goward, and Greg McLean. So congratulations to the winners there who took home some really nice prizes. Thank you.
Okay. Election overseer Catherine Fossman or her designee will report preliminary election results to the membership.
I have the unofficial results of tonight's meeting. In the order of the number of ballots cast, Lois Lester received 5,175 votes. Kit Jones received 5,014 votes. Marvin Yoder received 2,889 votes. And Brian Scoresby received 2,795 votes. And we have one question ballot.
Okay, thank you. So the membership has elected Kit Jones to serve another 3-year term and yours truly. We're at member comments. Does anyone wish to be heard? Please use the microphone. State your first and last name for the record and make your comments, which are limited to 3 minutes.
My name's Will Tagan, and I was just wondering, what is the board doing currently to pursue additional renewable generation? And I think you're doing a good job. Thank you.
Madam President, would you want me to answer that?
Yes, please.
Actually, just last week, our newest hydro facility was offered the transformer that's needed to hook up the South Fork of Eagle River project. They will probably be in good shape by this fall to connect into the system. We also have power from Bradley Lake that's certainly renewable. At Glutena Lake, the plant down on the Old Glenn Highway, and we have another one up, and the name escapes me. Don, can you help me out here? No, I got South Fork. Fishhook, okay, it's in the Fishhook area. So yeah, we've got hydro online, and we're supporting heavily the Wautana project.
Okay.
Help her there, Tony. I know Tony could do it. He works on cars, besides being a gas man.
I have four questions.
Before you begin.
Oh, my name is Lori Jimenez Betts.
Lori.
Jimenez Betts. It's hyphenated. It's J-I-M-E-N-E-Z.
Do you have it, Patty?
My ex-husband used to work for you back in the 70s.
Go ahead.
My first question, I'm going to ask them in order because I need to be back at my seat to write down the phone number if you're going to give me one. The first question is, will the WPCRA go down when the new plant is started? Because I noticed that it's gone up from like, you know, a little bitty bit, like a couple of mils or something. When I first got here in 76 or 77, whenever it started, it didn't seem like it was WPCRA for a while. And then now it's a whole huge amount compared to what I remember. And then the next question is, what happens to capital, now that I'm 60, what happens to capital credits when someone dies? Can they let somebody inherit them, like your kids or something, on one of those little sheets of paper that you attach to your will? And then the other thing is, what is the possibility of having solar panels available so we don't have to, you know, for the summer, we can make the most of the summer? And the last question is, how do I contact Bill Giardelli, or Giardell?
Okay. Joe will answer all of them.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last question.
How do I contact Bill Giardell?
Oh, Bill Giardell. Okay, well,
Bill Giardell.
Call me, 761-9212, and we'll get Bill to return your call. Regarding the cost of wholesale cost of power, that is a pass-through that comes from the power supplier. We don't have much influence on that cost other than to pay it. And as I said in the presentation you saw, that's about 65% of our costs goes directly for power. Will it increase? I fear it will, because the price of gas supplies in Cook Inlet is rising. And as we burn more and more of the legacy, the older gas contracts, the new contracts are more expensive, so you will see the cost go up. Now, perhaps with Tony aboard and with our negotiating capacity and all the experience we have, we'll be able to bring in some gas contracts at more reasonable prices. It's going to be hard, but if the fines are out there that some of the independents have indicated, then you can almost be assured that the prices are going to come back down a little bit. The question on capital credits, yes, we do return capital credits for people that are deceased. And it's, if it's part of the estate, it's handed to the estate of the deceased. And whatever method it's passed to the next generation or whomever it is,
should be just a straight pass-through. There certainly will be paperwork with it, I'm sure. Question about solar panels. Solar panels can be procured on the market. We do not buy them. We don't use them. There are several firms around who do that and would be happy to hook you up. In fact, the Agaten people, and I forgot the nomenclature of what they call themselves, but they have quite a few solar panels, and it'd certainly be worth talking to them about their experience. And the fourth question was how to get Bill Jardel, and I already told you that.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
I have a few questions.
Your name, please.
Marcus Ream.
Okay.
I have a few questions. I'll bring them up at the end. First, before I speak in public, I always try to recognize my veterans. Do I have any here? Thank you. Raise your hand if you admire, respect, or love a veteran as well. That's awesome. I'll tell you, I made a phone call a little while back to one of the unions, I won't say which one, and I said, I'm looking for a couple of veterans I need to hire for a project. And they said, are you a union shop? And I said, no, I'm a veteran-owned firm, and I want to hire these guys. $55 an hour. Can you get them to me? If you're not a union shop, we're not going to send anybody to you. And I said, these guys serve for their country, and you're not going to send them because they're not a union shop? And they said, well, why don't you become a union shop? And I said, what does that take? He says, just go ahead and join the union. And I said, would I have to require anybody to join my union? He says, yeah, everybody would. And I said, I don't do that. I said, I wear the uniform, my soldiers
sir,
wear the uniform for the
sir,
right.
Sir, do you have a question?
Yeah, I'll get to
for
that.
For the board?
Yep, I'm getting to that.
Okay, hurry.
I thought this was the comment section.
No, it's questions.
I'll speak fast,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, so when I look at exactly what goes on when it comes to dealing with people and dealing with bureaucracies, I always have to tell myself, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. There was a union boss in New Jersey about a month and a half ago, laid off 20 of his own people instead of his $400,000 fat cat salary being diminished even a bit because they didn't want to give any secessions. His fellow union members kicked out because it was more expedient than working with anybody on their behalf. Last night we had a special meeting, and instead of facing issues dealing with the actual election that we had here, this board scurried off into executive session to discuss bylaws that have no business being discussed in executive session. Is this what we asked for as members? Is this what we expect, transparency? Or do we expect things to be swept under the rug if it's not politically convenient? Now think about those veterans that
you're
just thanked.
Sir, your 3 minutes is up. 30 seconds, I'm sorry, 30 seconds, you got 30 seconds more.
Think about those veterans, because every blue-collared, red-blooded union member I've ever known, and I like them all, demands that the sacrifices of those veterans and the fellows they left behind isn't for nothing. I ought to hear every one of you up here demanding the truth.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
My name's Ken Thorell. I'd like to request that there's quite a few people who are disgruntled about seeing $106 million go out of the United States. MEA has a reputation for procuring local, and we consider the United States kind of local. And $106 million out of our ratepayers' pockets going to Finland is not popular with a lot of people. I've heard very many disgruntled people. I think it would soothe everybody and smooth the waters if the board could include in the Powerlines newsletter more in-depth discussion of how they arrived at going with the Wärtsilä engines and just how that's going to be beneficial and in contrast to, say, using a General Electric turbine and cogeneration setup. There's a lot of questions people have asked me. I used to work in generation. I was in the Caribbean. This is a long time ago, and I was there when we went away from the Fairbanks Morse to the General Electric turbines. And these were old turbines, and they're really old engines. And actually, this Wärtsilä engine is not all that novel an approach. Our Morris, our old Fairbanks Morris engines could run on gas with a little injection of oil to start the fire. Wärtsilä's doing the same thing, but we've got computerized controls. They're much more efficient. They've done a wonderful job. But I kind of question 30% better efficiency than a power plant that uses gas turbines and uses recovery heat for cogeneration to run a steam generator. There's a lot of questions like this. I would like to see our board be more aware of the fact that there are people out there that are members that can read and write. We can cipher figures. And supply us with these figures. That's all we're asking. I know that it's a done deal with Wärtsilä. We're not, and nobody's arguing about that. So now that the deal's done, let's explain it to the members how it's beneficial, how we're going to amortize the capital outlay of our generation pump on the savings we'll get by not buying our power from somebody else who is at the moment, Chugach, is at the moment working on a new generation plant that has a more economical setup than their old antique, what they are, 30, 40 year old turbines over there at Beluga. You're comparing your modern generation to some antique junk. And it is, it's junk, and they know it. That's why they're getting out of it. They're going to mothball it, and they're going to use their
new 30 plant. Seconds.
Okay. Anyway, could you just include this kind of information to us in depth in your newsletter? I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't come to me bitching and moaning about it, because I always like to bitch and moan too. So thank you very much for your attention, and I hope to hear from you.
Thank you. Joe, would you explain the purchasing,
sure,
the Wärtsilä?
Sure. Happy to do that. Madam President, as you know, we've done probably six major studies, and as well as a financial forecast over a 30-year period. I would be happy to make that information available to you if you want to. It's I tried to write some of that in the power lines, and my people that produce the power lines came to him and he said, no, you can't write this stuff in the power lines. People won't read it. They don't care about it. But I'll tell you what, if you'll come to my office, I'll show you the studies, I'll give you the numbers, and I'll tell you why it works like it does. It's, they're efficient engines, and there's a lot of them, and our kind of load likes a number of sources and a throttleable engine that a gas turbine isn't.
Okay, is anyone else?
And now for something completely different.
Your name?
My name is Diane Woodruff, and I wish to present for the members' consideration a motion recognizing a person of accomplishment who has served our cooperative well for many years with honor, dignity, and grace. In April of 2000, Lois Lester was elected to MEA's Board of Directors. Lois served in various capacities on the board and was elected president in 2008. She remains MEA's board president today. Due to her exemplary service to the members of Matanuska Electric Association, I, Diane Woodruff, move that the Eklutna Generating Station be named after LCE Lois Lester and be called the Lois Lester Generating Station.
It's been moved and second that the Eklutna Generation Station be named after LCE Lois. I guess I better put in my last name before I was married, and that's Jackson, and then Lester, okay? And second it, and I don't think you gave your name for the person that second it, okay? And this will be an advisory vote, okay? Any discussion? Any objections to the motion? Okay, I have one objection. So those in favor of the motion, raise your hand. Raise your sign. Okay. Those opposed? Okay, the advisory motion passes. Is there anyone else to speak? Okay, hearing.
Robert Deluxe, move to adjourn.
You move to adjourn? And is there a second?
Is there a possibility to speak?
Sure, you can speak.
Thank you.
I didn't hear a second.
Second.
Oh, you did second? Okay.
the meeting is adjourned, but I guess we should let it, Mr. Folsom, go ahead and speak, please.
As a former board member,
yes,
I think it would
speak,
be a,
please.
I mentioned this last year. I ran last year, and I'd like to mention it once more. The inordinate amount of money required to run for an MEA board. We do not know how much that was last year. We estimated to between $60,000 and $70,000 to keep the two board members on the board last year. This year, we estimate that to be somewhere above $40,000 to keep two more board members on the board. Keep in mind, this is a co-op board. And what has happened is that we've had a transition from voting on qualified members and a low-key profile sort of election to one that is just overwhelmingly, I mean overwhelmingly, throwing thousands and thousands of dollars from special interests to maintain the four-member majority on this board. And I want to tell you, I think it's going to bite you one of these days. We have lost our co-op to special interests.
Thank you. Okay, shall we do the motion again to adjourn? Okay, so we are adjourned.
Thank all of you for coming.